Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wyatt, and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hopgood. We are seated right here courtside, actually mid-court to be exact, here at the Greensboro Coliseum. And we're very fired up. We got the ACC tournament starting tomorrow. And this is just an exciting time, Hobbo. There's a lot of positive energy surrounding the UVA basketball team coming off the big win up at Maryland last weekend. The Hoos pulled off a huge upset. Maryland was favored by 12 points, and Virginia beat them by 14 points, pushing the Cavaliers to the eighth seed in this weekend's tournament, which begins tomorrow at 12 noon for the Cavaliers as they face the Miami Hurricanes. We're glad that you've joined us tonight.
Indeed. 58th annual. Now, a question for you. The first ACC tournament that Hobbo attended in person was what number? And don't say one.
had to be something like 20-something.
It was the 17th.
17th.
As a very young freshman, you know, my mother kicked me out of the house at a young age, so I was 17 when I went to college. But anyway, this is Hobbo. We are here indeed from the Greensboro Coliseum. Live courtside, as Frank indicated, and this tomorrow will begin the 58th Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament. Always an exciting time of year, as Frank indicated. We have several terrific guests lined up tonight. To my left, we'll have him on momentarily. The voice of the Hoos, Dave Kane, will join us to talk about the basketball team and its development during the course of the year. At the bottom of the hour, we will have a former teammate of mine and also an usher at my wedding, Dan Bonner. So Dan's been a longtime friend. And then to close the show tonight, we will have the sports director of Channel 19 in Charlottesville, the CBS affiliate there, Mark Davis, to give us his maybe preview of the tournament as we get ready to go tomorrow at noon. There are several ways you can follow the show, and Frank will outline that right now.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. Our previous shows are all archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on Facebook as well. Just search Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments should be sent to Facebook tonight. We will try to follow up with them tomorrow and on Saturday.
And as Frank mentioned earlier, a very successful end of the season, end of the regular season. We begin the second season tomorrow for Virginia, winning four of their last five games, 16-14 overall. To me, one of the great aspects of that is it guarantees a winning season, which I think psychologically is important, because if they had not had a winning season this year, that would have been three consecutive losing seasons, which had not happened since the 1960s. So it's good to avoid that. And I think Coach Bennett really has got the program turned around and headed in the right direction, and we trust that will continue tomorrow. 7-9 in the ACC, I think, and Dave can correct this, I think that's the most wins they've had in conference since the 2007 year when they won 11 games and shared the regular season title with North Carolina. But at any rate, big game tomorrow against Miami. Tony Bennett and his group are getting ready. They will be in here in the arena, I think, 8 o'clock for their show pony shoot around. So we'll get a chance to see them in a couple of hours here as they get ready for the game tomorrow. And, Frank, let's go ahead and
why don't we go ahead and bring on Dave Kane?
A man who needs no introduction, but we'll introduce him anyway.
The official voice of the Cavaliers, Dave Kane.
Now in his third year. Yeah. As the voice of the Hoos, and Dave, we're glad you take a couple of minutes to join us before you do your own pre-tournament show at 7 o'clock over on our sister station, WRVA. Welcome, and tell us, what has been the difference in the last couple of weeks for the Virginia basketball team?
Well, thanks for having me on, fellas, and you know, I think, you know, you talk about this team and its evolution, and from the day that Tony Bennett got here, I think one of the things that he was preaching was know who you are. And he said it from his opening press conference, from the time I first got a chance to sit down with him. And I don't think this team really knew who it was until the last couple months, I think you could say. And then gradually throughout the season, it's become more and more pronounced. But over the last couple weeks, this team has really recognized that if the defense is there, you play disciplined basketball, you're going to have a chance in every game, especially given the circumstances that surround this year's team with the injuries, some of the shortage in terms of true you know, powerful players in terms of the inside, Mike Scott going down. This team doesn't have the arsenal of weapons that a lot of other teams do, so you better play disciplined basketball, and you better use your defense, and they've embraced that. And frankly, guys, we've seen them beat some teams that a lot of people wouldn't think they would have. Now, you're talking four out of the last five, and as you said, a winning season for the first time since that co-championship in 2006 and 2007 in the ACC. Well, it all you know, lends itself pretty well to what is a building process, and for next season we talk about a team that could be very good. But first things first, you got a chance to make a little bit of noise here in this ACC tournament, and in my mind, if you win one game, I think you go to the NIT. Now, that's obviously speculative at this point, and I think that would be a huge accomplishment for this team in and of itself. But you know, there's a lot to play for here, and it's not just pride, and that's one of the great things for Virginia fans because they haven't been able to say that for a couple of years.
Dave, you were dancing around the idea of talking about the personality of the team.
Mm-hmm.
It has clearly evolved during the season, obviously since Mike Scott went down and, you know, had this first surgery, and then obviously he re-injured it and had to have a second surgery. It's unusual. This team shoots better behind the arc than it does inside the arc, and has won, I think, 12 games in that fashion. Speak to how hard that is to do.
Well, I think for most teams it's hard. For this team, it's not as hard. You know, I mean, I think somebody asked Coach Bennett about that on our coaches' show on Monday night, and he said, you know, realistically, that going back to this notion of that's who we are. He said that's how this team is built right now, and with a lack of inside game consistently, although Hassan Sen obviously has been picking up his
better
play. Yeah, I mean, he had 15 points, and he was, you know, I actually pick up a number. In the last five games, he's shooting 72% from the floor, which is pretty ridiculous for him given the earlier part of the season. I mean, he's a different player from the one that started this year off. But you know, realistically, you don't rely on him for your points. He does a lot of the other things. So you have to have guys that can shoot it. And this team does have guys. When you talk about Sammy Zaglinski and his resurgence of late, that's been a big part of this Cavalier team's success of the last couple games. I know he had a couple games in that stretch where he wasn't shooting it quite as well, but he's playing as healthy as he has this late in the season in his career.
Well, the key with Sammy is even when he's not making shots, he's a threat such that the other team has to guard him.
Yep.
Which does provide a little better spacing, because Virginia, since they don't have an interior presence, teams have fanned out the defense to really try to shut down those perimeter shooters. And it really does make a big difference just, you know, when you don't have that interior game. Frank has heard me say this before, but to me it's like running and passing in football. You got to have the complementary threat. And without Mike Scott, this team really has accomplished a lot. And you and I talked on the phone earlier this week. If you make shots, don't turn it over, and play solid defense, you're going to be in a lot of games.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that was amazing about what Virginia did on Saturday against Maryland was the fact that they really, realistically, had just four turnovers. Two of those six that were on paper, one of them at the end, Sammy Zaglinski throws the ball in the air as the final seconds tick off because the coach told him to, so that really shouldn't count. And then there was another shot clock violation for the other. But, I mean, that's against a Maryland team that forces 15.5 turnovers a game and is in your face throughout the contest. You look back to the Miami game. Miami had its fewest points off turnovers in that contest of any they played all season. So that, you think, could play into things tomorrow at noon when the Hoos play against that Miami team.
Expand on that a little bit before we let you go. Talk about the Miami game, maybe the game down there with the controversial ending, and what does Virginia need to do tomorrow to come away with a victory?
Well, I think Virginia needs to do everything it did last time. I mean, realistically, Virginia outplays that Hurricane team throughout that game, throughout the entirety of it, when you get right down to it. However, at the end, and, you know, officials are human beings too. None of them are perfect. Now, clearly, I think one of those fouls, you could make a very strong case, was not a foul at all. In particular, to make two calls in the last minute of a contest on three-point shots was pretty unusual. So I think Virginia plays, and obviously the other difference was Virginia lets Miami in that game. This wasn't entirely officiating, and I don't want to say it was, because the Cavaliers could not shoot free throws in that game at the end of the contest. And that has been a bit of a bugaboo. If you're going to put a team away, you better make free throws. But I think in terms of this matchup, I like it from a Virginia standpoint just by virtue of the fact that this is a team they know they can beat, virtually did on the road, and you've got that added part of it, incentive, to go and prove that was a fluke.
Payback.
Yeah.
Payback. I mean, clearly it's going to motivate the Cavaliers.
I tend to agree. And so, you know, with that said, the only thing that scares you about a Miami team, well, not the only thing, but one of the main things that keeps you up is that potential for them to get hot from outside. The Hoos have had some trouble at times defending the three this season, as their numbers would indicate, allowing 36% from beyond the arc, you know, third to last in the league. But, you know, that said, those numbers have gotten better as the season's progressed, as this team has come to rely on its defense more.
Well, that game, I don't even think was on TV. When Virginia played Miami, did they try to double down on Johnson in the low blocks?
Well, one of the things that also hurt in that game, and I'm trying to remember, it was Asan actually had a pretty good game in that contest. He had a couple blocks, 8 rebounds. And Will Sherrill re-injured that leg during that game.
Right.
And that you know, that's another thing we have to talk about is the Hoos during the stretch of 4 wins and 5 games. Will being out there gives you an opportunity to let a guy like Joe Harris play his more natural position at the 3. I mean, he's not a guy that is necessarily thrilled about the notion of playing at the 4 at this point. So when you have Sherrill out there, not only does he stretch the defense a little bit with his shooting prowess, but he also allows Joe Harris to do some things that he wouldn't otherwise be able to
and
do.
And Sherrill's a pretty good rebounder, too. I
mean, he's become a great rebounder.
In the last 2 games, Will had 9 rebounds against Maryland up there, and he had 8 against NC State on senior night.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you got to talk about when you talk about Will Sherrill is his ability and his knowledge of how to defend off the ball. He's probably one of the best on that court for Virginia doing those things that you don't necessarily see in the stat sheet, but it makes a difference.
Well, and I've always thought he's kind of a Tony Bennett kind of guy.
Yep.
Now, going forward, I think Tony would like to have players with Will's smarts and maybe a little better ability.
Sure.
And nobody would, you got to remember, Will was a walk-on, so it wasn't even a recruited player from the standpoint of a scholarship, but he just had a terrific career and made just innumerable contributions to the basketball team.
Yeah, and I think everything you've gotten to this point in his career is, you don't want to say icing, but really, I mean, what
almost
he's given,
bonus, yeah.
It has been more, and it's been needed for a team that's seen a lot of, obviously, turnover in the last couple of years due to transfers, injuries, et cetera, with a coaching change. So they've needed everything they've gotten from Will, and it's a good thing that he has stepped his game up.
Just a quick question, and not to assume anything, but if things go well tomorrow, just give us a quick preview of a North Carolina matchup. Can Virginia hang with the Tar Heels?
Well, we saw Virginia hang with the Tar Heels the first time they met this season at JPJ in a game that UVA had a very good chance to win. The thing that scares me about Carolina is the fact that they're the hottest team in the league right now. I mean, this is a team that has talent. We knew they had talent. Now they're starting to play like people expected them to. Harrison Barnes wasn't the same player that Virginia's going to see potentially come Friday if the Hoos are able to win against Miami. So not a game that Virginia can't win, but it's going to be tough, as you wouldn't need me to tell you. This is, again, a team that's won a lot of games of late and a lot of talent, a lot of size.
Well, it really shows the importance of a point guard because Kendall Marshall has come
yep.
in and developed, and it's almost changed the whole makeup of that team. He just had a terrific second half of the season, and as guards can do, he's made the other guys on the team be better basketball players just by his being there.
Exactly right.
All right, Dave, just before we go to break here, what are Virginia's 3 keys tomorrow going up against Miami?
Well, I think, first of all, you got to find a way to defend against the 3-point shot. Secondly, you got to take care of the basketball, win that turnover battle, because that's been a real issue for the Miami Hurricanes all season long. And then lastly, for Virginia, as has been the case, you better make your shots when they're open because you're going to get some looks. Now, can the Cavaliers make good on those? They've done it lately. Those are the 3 things that have to happen for a win.
All right, hopefully that'll happen tomorrow because I want to come back Friday and see who's played the Tar Heels, that's for sure. But anyway, Dave,
I'm with you.
Thank
Don't
you
right.
for giving us a few minutes as you prepare for your show at 7 o'clock. Have a great broadcast tomorrow, and we'll see you throughout the weekend.
All right, fellas, look
Thank
forward
you, Dave.
To it.
See
All right, Dave Kane joining us. We'll be back after these messages. Continue with Who's Talking.
All right, welcome back. This is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood, and coming to you live from the Greensboro Coliseum in Greensboro, North Carolina.
It's funny how that works.
It is.
You know. But at any rate, we are going to do our play of the game at this time, brought to us by our friends at the Mark Foss Brown team at Keller Williams Realty. Frank?
In Saturday's big ACC win versus Maryland in College Park, third-yearman Sammy Zaglinski rained 6 amazing threes on the Terrapins and scored an amazing 25 points to lead the Hoos to their 4th win in the last 5 games. Mustafa Farrakhan had 19 points, and Asan Sen recorded 15 points. It was also Tony Bennett's 100th career win as a head coach. Look out, ACC. UVA basketball is coming back strong.
Well, that's absolutely the case. And it'll be fun to see the team play tomorrow against Miami. Miami coming off a disappointing loss at Georgia Tech. Game was on TV. I don't know if you had a chance to see it.
Yep.
I watched most of it. They didn't play particularly well. Had a lead early, but Georgia Tech sort of surged in the second half, able to win the game. You know, the funny thing is, as we look to tomorrow, not only the Virginia game, the second game, Boston College, Wake Forest. Wake has really struggled this year, so I'm not sure how competitive that one's going to be. Tomorrow night, Maryland, NC State. could end up being a battle. You know, Gary Williams wants to get that team back on the winning track after losing to Virginia last weekend. And by the way, I was happy that Miami lost because I didn't really want to play Maryland again. I had a feeling,
yes.
had a bad feeling to having play them again tomorrow. So I'm much happier with Miami.
I agree with that.
And then tomorrow night, you know, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. I think that may be a more compelling game than some people might think. You know, Georgia Tech is going to have the Oliver kid back in all likelihood. And Georgia Tech's got some athletes. They really have had a disappointing season, but they have some potential on that basketball team and did beat Virginia Tech down in Atlanta, so it could be an interesting game late tomorrow night.
Looking at the first four games of the tournament, let's start with the last game of the night, Virginia Tech versus Georgia Tech. Number 6 versus number 11, it's a 9 o'clock game. Don't you think Virginia Tech has got its back against the wall? And if they have any hopes at all of the NCAAs, they've got to have that game.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, who knows? The committee is out in Indianapolis working their way through the process. But it would seem to me that Virginia Tech played themselves into the tournament with the Duke win. And they certainly, if nothing else, they played themselves back on the bubble with the two losses to Boston College and Clemson over the weekend. So if they come down here and lose to Georgia Tech, I think the odds are pretty good that they're going to the NIT. Now, I think, you know, if I'm Virginia Tech, I don't feel real good about the situation unless I get to Saturday. If they get to Saturday, if they beat Florida State after they beat Georgia Tech, then I think there's no question that they're in. But I just think the ACC cannot necessarily count on 5 or 6 teams this year in the NCAA tournament.
All right, let's look at the 7 o'clock game on Thursday. You've got Maryland versus NC State. I think that game is going to be a war. Maryland has to have that game to go to the NIT. They have to have that game if they have any hopes of the NCAAs. And NC State is going to be playing for pride. They're just up the road here. You've got to practically drive through Raleigh to get here. And, you know, Sidney Lowe is on the hot seat. So what do you think, Hobo?
I think Maryland will come ready to play. I think they're stoked. I think they've had a lot of success against NC State in recent years. It's hard to look at that game and not think back to 1974 when NC State and Maryland played in this very arena in what most people think is the best game ever in the ACC tournament. But tomorrow's not going to be 1974, I can tell you.
All right, let's look at Boston College, the 5 seed versus Wake.
That's a walk.
All right, that's the 2 o'clock game, allegedly. The first game of the day, the Virginia Cavaliers, number 8 seed versus the number 9 seed Miami Hurricanes. On paper, that looks to be the most competitive game.
Well, you would always expect the 8-9 game to be the most compelling game of the first day, and it very well may be, although I still think the Virginia Tech-Georgia Tech game may be a better game than some people think. But Virginia-Miami, it very well may be like the game down in Coral Gables that came down to the last minute. Hopefully the Cavs will do a little better job at finishing and making free throws tomorrow than they did down there.
Agreed. In just a few minutes after our bottom of the hour break, we're going to be bringing on Dan Bonner, the color analyst for Raycom and the ACC Network. And
CBS. And
CBS.
Others. Yeah. So
we're looking forward to him to join us in a few minutes to talk a little bit more in depth about Virginia versus Miami. And really, what is the tone of this year's tournament? Obviously, North Carolina and Duke are the heavy favorites. But at the same time, they're not here yet, so let's look at these first four games and break them down. And
well, the one thing Dan has, he has a national perspective better than certainly I do, so he might be able to speak to the Virginia Tech and how many teams are going to get in from the ACC and things like that. So we'll approach him not only on ACC, but NCAA March Madness coming up next week.
All right, we got music kicking in here, and I see Dan Bonner strolling over here.
He is approaching, so we will visit with Dan Bonner momentarily after these messages. Stay with us at the Greensboro Coliseum, the eve of the 58th annual ACC tournament. Back in a few.